The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. When I'm on the way, someone else gets there down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It's the Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he had done this on the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mentioned that Lent is an annual baptismal catechumenate in which the elect prepare themselves for the waters of baptism. Those of us who have already been baptized prepare ourselves for the wholehearted renewal of our baptismal promises, and to examine ourselves on how we're living according to our baptismal identity. And the heart of Lent, the third through the fifth weeks, is all about very strong baptismal imagery. From the Samaritan woman at the well a week ago Sunday, and her thirst for that living water welling up within her to eternal life, the presence of Jesus within, to just this last Sunday, where this man born blind was sent to wash in the pool of Siloam to participate in his own cure, just like Jesus on Ash Wednesday wiped us not with muddy saliva, but with moistened ashes, and sent us on our healing through repenting and believing in the good news. Today, we've got incredibly strong baptismal imagery that describes first what type of cure the Lord wants to do, how long that cure's going to take, what the process of it is going to involve, and the desire we need for it. Let's go backwards. First, the desire we have for it. Today in the Gospel, Jesus goes up to this man who had been crippled for 38 years and says, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, what this man's response should have been is, "Yes! Absolutely! I want to be made well yesterday. Can you help me?" That's not what he said. Because his heart had become so embittered. He was so down. His soul had become so crippled that instead of saying absolutely, he gives a whole litany of excuses. "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up. When I'm on the way, someone else gets down there before me. Woe am I. Look at how victimized I am." Do you want to be made well? Jesus then, as we know, cures him. But later on, when he finds him in the temple, he says, "Look, you are made well. Don't sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." We might have first heard this and say, "Why, what sin had this guy committed?" We're going to get to that in a second. But the Lord in Lent asks us, do you want to be made well? And He wants us to have that deep desire for that wholeness. Not to come up with these excuses which sometimes, well, Jesus, you know, I've tried to live good Lents before, but I always fail. I can't go without potato chips for two consecutive days, or whatever it is. I try to pray a little bit more, but I just get so distracted. In terms of almsgiving, I give it to this person, and then this person just comes back and asks me for more money. Whatever it be, we can say, I've got all these excuses, Jesus. Yeah, in a sense, I'd like to be made well, but I don't really want it because my soul's crippled too. Jesus wants to heal us of that this Lent so that we will grasp that when He says, do you want to be made well, He's asking us, do you want to become truly holy? Do you have that desire? Second thing is the duration of that desire. First reading today, we have one of my favorite Old Testament passages. From Ezekiel 47, we see Ezekiel brought to the eastern side of the temple where there's a trickle of water flowing down. He's brought another 1,000 cubits, which is 500 yards, and that trickle is now up to his ankles, another 500 it's up to his knees, another 500 it's up to his waist, another 500, and it's over his head. He can only swim in it if he's going to be in it at all. And as it flows down into the Arabah, that 20-mile expanse of desert between Jerusalem on the mountain and the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, this stream of living water in this vision starts giving life to everything, teeming with plant life. And then it actually goes into the Dead Sea, which is 20 times the salinity of the Atlantic Ocean. No marine life can abide there. And raises that Dead Sea from the dead so that it, what was salty in it, what was bittered, what was incapable of life has now been made fresh and vital. That's an image of what happens in us in baptism. The temple is just an image of the true temple, who's Jesus. The eastern side from which that trickle of water comes relates to Jesus' pierced eastern side from which flowed blood and water. When we're baptized, we receive just a little trickle of that water. But by the time we're able to communicate with others, we're supposed to be communicating with God. That living water should be up to our ankles. By the time we're ready to receive Him and enter into communion, should be up to our knees. By the time we're about confirmed, up to our waist. By the time we're an adult, it should be the defining reality of our life, and we should be swimming wherever that living water, Jesus, flows. And we should be the ones with Him who's bringing life in the midst of the deserts. But we've got to examine what parts in me are stagnant. What parts in me are like the Dead Sea, in which Jesus isn't there, it's a desert, so that that living water can flow and enliven. And that's a process. It's a journey that's supposed to take our entire life as we continue to flow in those living baptismal waters. This is what it would mean to be made well. But there are two things of which we need to be cured, just like we see in the Gospel today. Pope Francis, in his homily this morning in the Vatican, talked about these two things. First, he said, is we need to be cured of sloth, that spiritual sadness which is more properly called acedia. It's one of the capital sins in which we just don't move because we're so spiritually depressed that we don't think God can really make us better. Pope Francis said, we see it in this crippled man, in how embittered in excuse-making, how much of a victim he was. And he says, we also see it in many Catholics. See, many Catholics who, rather than looking at the possibilities of what God can do, just look at their own weaknesses. They don't get up. They're spiritually, he says, anesthetized. There's still some life there, but there's not much movement. There's not much growth. They think that they're tranquil, but it's the tranquility of somebody who has been anesthetized rather than the tranquility of someone who's truly at peace with the Lord. says we need to look at these same things and say to the Lord who asks us, do you wish to be healed of this? Absolutely I do, Lord. Help me. He said the second type of illness that we need to be cured of is the rigid formalism we meet in those who are plotting to try to murder Jesus at the end. This man carries his mat just as Jesus had said, and then they immediately stop him and not say, what a great thing it was that you have been cured of your 38-year paralysis. But how dare you be carrying a mat? Don't you know it's a Sabbath? And then he says, the man who cured me said, take up your mat and walk. Who told you this? Because as Pope Francis said on Sunday, the Pharisees thought that God went on holiday on Sundays. That God wouldn't even cure one of his own beloved sons and daughters because it was a Sabbath. That God would in fact rather let them continue to wallow rather than to be healed. So they found, Jesus found this man. And, you know, just you can see how egocentric the man was by the fact that he didn't even bother to get the name of the person who healed him of a 38-year paralysis. It was just all about him. He really did need to be cured. But then we see still how much the man needs to be cured. So Jesus healed him. Jesus reveals his identity. So what does this crippled man now do with his newly restored legs? He goes and reports Jesus to these scribes and Pharisees, who obviously with their tone were trying to come after Jesus, as if Jesus had done something wrong rather than an action of love. A lot of the times we can be formal like this, that we think that our faith is just about the rules. We either keep them or we break them. The ones who keep them, no matter where their heart is, those are the good guys. The ones who break them, even for the greatest reason, are the bad guys. Jesus says to us, if we're caught up in that type of rigidity and formalism, do you wish to be made well? All the commandments are ultimately made to set us free. The truth sets us free. It's not free that we can break them. Free that we can truly understand what they point to and live them, just like Jesus was the most free person in the world. Just like Pope Francis is so free because he's really living by the authentic self-giving love of God. The Lord wants that to happen to us by our baptism. But we need to be cured of our sloth, then we need to be set alive, not just harnessed within these small little categories, but truly overflowing with that living water that Jesus wishes to pour within. Today, as we come forward to receive Jesus, that living water in Holy Communion, this is the font of all of that life which flowed like an open dam from his pure side. We are invited by him who are thirsty to come and drink. And then he's going to let this water flow all the way through Fall River, over our head, not as a trickle, so that we might swim in it and allow him to bring us, to bring others to life wherever we go. This is the baptismal reality for which Lent prepares us to be renewed. Let's begin with that desire. Let's begin with the stamina of that lifelong process. And let's ask the Lord to heal us whatever spiritual laziness or formality that prevents our becoming truly Christian. This is the gospel of the Lord.